Hi everyone, I appreciate the opportunity to be here and share with you my work. This is the first part of my thesis project. I'm doing a master's degree, and I've been doing this for this year, so we're going to see the preliminary results, and I'm going to spend most of the time showing you the case of study and the systems we're going to see. Okay, so first we've got the Mediterranean ecosystems that are characterized by having a hot and dry summer and a rainy and mild winter. Most of the rain falls during the winter. And so you can see up here, you can see California, and down there it's Chile. And these Mediterranean ecosystems, together with a few more biomes, are biodiversity hotspots because they hold a big number of endemic species and they are threatened by human activities. So here it is, Chile. And this map shows you the state of conservation of the native forests. And the red zone is exactly the hot spot. And in the northern part, this critical conserved zone, this northern part is our biome, Matorral. It's the same as the Californian Chaparral. And this biome is very threatened by human activity, as I said. And one of these activities is land use change. And inside land use change, we can see that the main aspect is the conversion from forest to agriculture. And why does it matter here? This land use change is associated with erosion, and that means soil loss. It's associated also with usually higher CO2 emissions, and it's always associated with biodiversity loss. In Chile, in the last decade, we have lost more than 800,000 hectares of our native grasslands and forests. Okay, so the particular land use change from shrubland to avocado is in the central part of Chile. We have around 22,000 hectares, and almost the half of it is already planted in steep hills, mainly in the study region. And this enormous growth in the last years is because the market has grown enormously. What does it mean to change the shrubland for avocado? It means that first you gotta remove the trees and the shrubs, and then you gotta rotate the surface soil to build the ridges, right? It's like the bed. And so, of course, the entire forest floor is removed. And then on, the management includes irrigation, fertilization, and application of several acids for clay dispersion, and the pruning that accumulates in the furrows. Okay, so you see this picture, and the immediate question appears, and does this land use change have any effect on soil quality? And the obvious hypothesis is that yes, it must have at least one effect. So the objectives of this study are to characterize this land use change 6 years following the plantation of the orchard. And the specific objectives are to compare both systems in terms of their soil properties and to determine differences in soil respiration between both systems and within both systems to account for the variability of the shrubland and the avocado. Okay, the study site, again, Chile, so you get in mind where we are. The central part, we have this location, Cuncumen, in the coastal range. And the piece of land that we are working on has around 150 hectares of avocado. The soil is granitic, and the slope that I am considering in the study goes from 15 to 45 degrees. It gets higher, but it's too dangerous to work there, so I'm not considering that. I'm going to tell you a little bit of the history of this land. It started with goat overgrazing, then it was abandoned, and that was followed by a poor natural regeneration, which became soil erosion. Right. So you can see the main species in this shrubland is acacia, and that's a sign, that's a symptom of the poor quality of the soil. Okay, so the experimental design we are using here is the twin plot, and the criteria to choose the plots where they should have the same forest composition, the same exposition, it's north-northwest, and the slope. So we've got four repetitions that they share the same characteristics, so we are like blocking every other variability. And each plot is around 250 square meters. Okay, so at the sampling inside these plots, we chose to have a random stratified to account for the variability inside the systems. And inside the shrubland plot, we can make a difference between beneath and outside the canopy. This is beneath the canopy, and this is outside the canopy. Those are some sampling spots. And they are supposed to be different, they should be different, in terms of soil temperature and moisture. In the avocado plot, we distinguish between the ridges and the furrows. They should also be different in terms of soil temperature and moisture. So the parameters we are measuring here, it's the base characterization and the quality parameter we are working until now. Remember, this is the first part of my work, so I'm going to keep on working on this one. But the first thing we have done is to measure the aggregate stability to account for, we saw the distribution of water-stable aggregates. So for this, this methodology is used in several studies, but we're following the one proposed by Six and collaborators in 1988. And to perform this analysis, we have taken three samples to make a composite sample for every strata in every plot. We are also measuring soil respiration with an infrared gas analyzer. We are using the EGM-4 from PP Systems. The advantage of these systems is that it takes only 2 minutes to make a measurement, so the impact and the effect on the soil headspace and gas flow is minimal. And okay, some results. I got to tell you first that we didn't see much differences within the plots because the variability is enormous, and there should be some kind of seasonal influence as well. So this could change when I go over the summer. So the pH and the electrical conductivity showed no difference, so I present here an average. In texture, we can see there are no significant differences either. So this land use change is not showing any effect on the texture of the soil surface. When we see here this table, I'm showing you the total nitrogen and total carbon and organic matter content in concentration. It's a percent. And I want to show you this. The shrubland showed always significantly higher values for total nitrogen and carbon and organic matter. And even though when the avocado orchard shows high organic matter content, the shrubland is even higher. So at this table, I'm showing you the percent weight of size fractions. We have the macro aggregates divided in two sizes, then the micro aggregates, and here they are the non-aggregated particles. I want you to focus on these results. Shrubland shows to have more macro aggregates from the bigger ones, and the avocado shows higher micro aggregates, and this is expected because the increase in micro aggregates is a clear sign of perturbation. Okay, soil respiration. We have here this graph. The x-axis shows you the measurement time, measured in weeks, starting from middle July. And in the y-axis, we have the respiration rates for both systems, measured in grams of CO2 per square meter per hour. You can see that these orange triangles, that is the shrubland, the Mediterranean forest, it's always higher than the orchard. And this difference is significant. And this is also expectable because, as we saw in the total carbon analysis, the avocado has the carbon pools already depleted. So it was expectable that the forest would have a higher respiration rate because it has a more herbaceous components in its flora, and it's got lots of carbon to respire. So to conclude, the land use change I'm presenting here significantly decreased the contents in the soil of carbon, nitrogen, and organic matter. We also saw significant differences in the distribution of aggregates between the system, not within the system, but between them. That was the main hypothesis. And this perturbation has decreased soil respiration 6 years from the plantation of the avocados. I must tell you now that we are comparing here, probably should have said it before, but we are comparing here this shrubland with an avocado that has been planted 6 years ago. So the literature indicates that the first soil movement, the first impact, is the one that shows you the largest impact. So we are not accounting for this, but we are seeing this instantaneous picture 6 years after, and we are not seeing much differences, but we still notice that the avocado has already degraded the shrubland that has a history of degradation. So thank you for your attention.
Any questions for Valentina?
Yes, Herbert.
How deep do you think the differences go? How deep in the soil profile?
Shouldn't go too deep because of the slope. There's a lot of lateral movement and down the slope movement of water and nutrients. So I'm analyzing the 15 first centimeters, and I can see the differences between the ridges and the furrows. And then you got in the furrows, in the bottom of the furrows, you see the soil down there. But 6 years after this happened, the soil is already separated. It's full of clay in the furrows, and not that way in the ridges. Even though when the numbers don't say it's significant, I can see that in the field. In the shrubland, the depth that is actually used by plants, it's not deeper either, because you can see the granite right under the herbaceous components. No, I would say about 20 centimeters.
Okay.
They're really shallow.
Okay. Thank you.
We have time for one more question.
Is there another work about soil erosion in this area?
Work about erosion?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, in the same zone. Not in the same piece of land, but in the region of Valparaíso as well. And they have accounted for, in the first year, the amount of soil that could be lost is up to 20 tons per hectare, just for the first movement of soil. Yeah, it's incredibly, I haven't seen much of these crops not following the slope. It's lots of soil lost.
All right. Thanks, Valentina.